Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Pulver's Towing, and welcome to week 4 of our June Ladies Month, and we'll be joined by stock car driver Kyron Porter. We'll also hear from Callie from Powerlift Doors by French's Manufacturing. We'll also hear from Bob from Midwest Collision, and our old friend Speed from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Pulver Motor Service is far more than towing and recovery. Pulver has the versatility and tools to move anything with wheels. Why should you invest in a truck and trailer when for a fraction of the cost, Pulver can move your heavy equipment to the job site and back? With our years of experience and investment in equipment, Pulver Motor Service isn't limited by size, weight, or distance. See for yourself at pulvermotorservice.com. Contact us today and find out how we can help move your business forward.
Honda has found a way to make the great outdoors even greater with special offers on select 4-Trax ATVs. Our lineup of tireless 4-Trax ATVs are designed to tackle the toughest jobs and leave you with enough energy to enjoy a ride once the work is done. And now get up to $800 factory to dealer incentives on select models. Just head to Trimble Cycle Center in Austin now during the Greater Outdoors Sales Event and make this your best year outdoors yet. Factory to dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details. Trimble Cycle Center in Austin, celebrating 60 years as USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there whether it's a small or large project with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna total source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
For over 95 years, Napa Auto Parts has been there for you. And right now, Napa has big savings on hand tools, power tools, and tool sets. A Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench makes a great gift for dad or a grad at just $99.99. Get up to $100 in trade-in for your old tools during DeWalt's Trade-In Trade-Up. And Black Diamond Avalanche refrigerant is only $29.99 after mail-in rebate. With locations throughout the listening area, you're never far from a Napa, a proud member of the local community.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by driver Kyron Porter. And Kyron, you started your career in karts. It seems like the whole family was in karting at one point or another. What are your memories of your karting career?
My biggest memories was pretty much just looking up to the guys in the cars, which was my dad and all of his friends, because we were racing at the big track too. So I would be done with the karts and watch all of them, and it was just a dream to do that one day.
What skills did you take away from your karting career that you are still using today?
I definitely took away making the track more of an oval and trying to figure out the track compared to what my driving needs were. And the biggest thing I would say is learning to make sure that you know what other drivers are going to do around you, just so you can kind of expect something.
Watching the kart races from up in the grandstand, I think that's a great point. Being aware of your surroundings and also how costly just one single mistake can be to catch back up to the pack.
Yes, I think that applies in this stock car class the most because it's so competitive, and now if you screw up, you're going backwards, and this is the most competitive class I've been in, I think, since CART.
What is the significance behind the number 12?
It was actually my great-grandfather's number. So he started with it, and then my dad just kept going with it, and my uncle Scott, which is my dad's brother, he had 12 right away too, and then he switched to 15 because I raced against his son, so he had to have a different number, so that's how they got their 15.
You transitioned from karts into sport compacts and were very successful. What are some of your favorite memories of running the sport compact division?
My most favorite memory was when I got my first win, and one of my good friends at the time, Ashlyn, I was racing with her, and I won, and she just came running to my car and was almost as excited as I was.
And you talk about Ashlyn. There is a lot of great ladies at Arlington Raceway on any given Saturday night. There's Ashlyn, there's Sarah, there's Andrea, there's Carly. There is a lot of talented women in the pits at Arlington Raceway.
Yeah, it's super cool to see. A lot of tracks I don't think really have that many ladies, so it's fun to see a lot of them, and some of them do pretty good, so that's pretty fun.
Your smooth driving and consistent lap speed made you a threat to win from anywhere in the field in the sport compact division.
The first year, my rookie year, I got 2 wins, and then, I mean, I've never gone a season without 1 win, but 1 year in the compacts, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but I got 7 wins that year, and it was just a blast.
It was also really fun to watch you because we knew you were a factor in every single race. So to sit in the stands and keep an eye specifically on you, you would see lap after lap, you're hitting your marks, you're making consistently fast laps, and you were constantly gaining on the leaders, and you knew it was going to come down to the last 5 laps and you were going to be right there. That's got to be a great feeling as a driver to know, it doesn't matter where I start. I'm going to be up there at the end.
Yeah, it's really fun, especially when you find that good line and you can just feel yourself reeling the leader in every lap, and then to finally do it, it's just an awesome feeling.
Everyone that's ever been to Arlington's going to know when I say this. The Porter Fan Club, when you are at Arlington Raceway, everybody knows right where the Porter fans are sitting. They are a passionate group and really ramp up the excitement for the whole grandstand.
Yeah, well, everybody knows where it is. It got to the point where when we do the parade lap and go by slow and wave to everybody, that you can hear them screaming in your car.
Your grandma takes videos. What does she think of this whole racing thing?
She has been one of the biggest supporters since the beginning when it started with my dad. My dad's been racing for 26 years, I think, now, and the first time she had missed one of his races was when she was having some health problems a couple years ago. But other than that, she's been there every single night. She's there, rain or shine, and just the biggest supporter.
Literally, your whole family is involved when it comes to maintaining the cars. Your dad, your sister, your brother, and mom. It makes for a great family experience when you can all do it together, and it also makes repairs go a whole lot quicker.
Yeah, definitely. We keep all of our cars at one shop, so at one point we had 3 cars in there and 2 go-karts, and everybody's out there all the time, and it was just, you need help with somebody and everybody helps, or if somebody has to run to town to get a part, somebody's jumping up, and it's really good family bonding.
Your sister Zoe is your crew chief. We just had crew chief Cindy Becker on the show 2 weeks ago. Are you seeing more and more female mechanics in the pit areas, either helping out their family, boyfriends, or husbands?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Some really fast guys just have their wives or the females in their lives helping them. And in my experience, my boyfriend races too, and it's so much fun to be able to do it as a couple, and you always have something to talk about, and we're always busy doing something with racing.
How did your sister get more interested in wrenching on the cars and driving?
She raced go-karts since she was young, and so this year she decided to really start focusing on helping my dad because I moved out of the house and I wasn't home as much, and me and Cole started traveling a little bit more, so my dad needed more help. And this past winter and so far this year, she's learned so much, and she's just awesome to have around for a 16-year-old girl. She knows so much, and you can ask her to do anything, and she's jumping right on it.
The sign on the back of your Sport Compact, you just got passed by a girl. I would literally see other cars in the feature going around lap after lap, and suddenly, when you went by in your number 12, they all of a sudden got a whole lot faster. Have you seen that all the time out there as a female driver?
Yeah, there is definitely, I don't know if it's like a stereotype, but I mean, I think anybody would not like to see this young teenage girl hop out and beat you. So most of the time you get next to them, and sometimes they just can't control it, and just, it's like something that it makes them more competitive, makes me work a little bit harder.
Your white and black number 12 that literally looked like a vintage late model with the black plastic nose, that was a cool car. What is the story behind that car, and what are some of your favorite memories from racing it?
That was probably one of my most favorite cars. That was when I was in compact, and my dad said that if I wanted to move up, I had to buy it, so I bought that car from Carl Hewitt, and he always has some awesome-looking cars out there. So I just kept the body on and slapped some numbers on, and we really turned some heads with that one.
You actually ran that car at both Arlington and Redwood.
Yep, we tried Redwood with that. That was in the Outlaw Hobby class, so they only run that at Arlington and Redwood, but we did fairly decent there, too.
Explain the Outlaw Hobby class, because a lot of listeners really don't know the difference between a regular hobby and the Outlaws.
Yeah, so the Outlaw, they pretty much made it for older stock cars to really be able to compete with each other. I would say it's in between a hobby and a stock car. In the Outlaw, they don't have the Hoosier tires, so we just ran regular kind of street tires. And you just didn't have quite as much adjusting to do as the stock cars, but it was still a really competitive class, so it was fun.
What is the allure of the stock car division for you? I know what it is for me as a fan, but why not a modified like your dad?
Well, I have gotten in my dad's car a couple times, and I didn't really like the feeling of it, and I got into Matt Schauer's stock car one time, and I just had a blast, and it helped because I love watching stock cars. They're so competitive, and they're all so close, and it just looks like an awesome class, so it was always, I always said I just wanted to be in a stock car, and here I am.
A few years ago, I was broadcasting live from Menards in Burnsville the night before the ARCA race at Elko Speedway, and I had the opportunity to interview a young driver by the name of Cole Anderson. How did you two meet?
He actually got into dirt modified racing, and he bought my dad's old car. So that's how we just met and started talking, and then he needed some help at the track because he was kind of doing it by himself. So my dad and I went and helped him at the track a couple of times, and we just had a blast, and I guess it never stopped since.
And it wasn't long after I met him up there at Menards that we were at a dirt track, and they announced Cole Anderson of Northfield in a modified, and I was trying to figure out who influenced him to switch from asphalt to dirt, and now I know the whole story. you have to have a lot of fun racing together and doing it as a team.
Yeah, it is so fun. We were traveling around with him a little bit more this year, and it's just awesome. We spend so much time together, and it's just awesome to do it as a couple and get to know other people.
Is Cole going to be running both asphalt and dirt, or is he strictly dirt now?
He's strictly dirt now. They just got rid of all of their asphalt cars. He liked it a lot, but just kind of ran out of sponsorship support, and so they couldn't really find that, so then he just switched over, and now we're having so much fun that it's hard to go back. He wants to try it again, but probably not full-time.
The talent in the stock car division, no matter where you go, every track, whether it's Iowa or Minnesota, there are some tremendously talented drivers in the stock car division.
Yeah, it is insane. I was just talking to one of our old friends that used to come to the races with us like 3 years ago, and I just looked at him the other day and I was like, can you believe that I'm racing with some of these guys that I looked up to for so many years, and they're so good, and just to be on the track with them is like a whole nother experience. It's awesome.
When that snarling pack of stock cars comes around for their final parade lap before they drop the green, if you're not getting excited as a fan, you won't get excited over anything.
Oh, I know, especially... It's awesome to watch it as a fan, but being in that parade lap and hearing all the cars next to you, and at Arlington they do this awesome thing where they have the fans turn on their flashlights on their phone, and the whole stand lights up, and it just gives you chills.
You took the new car to Princeton Speedway back in April for practice. How did it feel right out of the trailer?
It definitely was a lot different than the Outlaw. It was a pretty big jump. I mean, I went to quick steer and the tires on it and way more horsepower, so it was a little bit to get used to, but it is so fun.
Watching a couple of the videos of you laying down laps, it looked like you were pretty smooth right out of the gate, but you weren't right up on the cushion.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bottom feeder now. I didn't think I would ever be, but yeah, I guess I really like the bottom. And at that practice, my power steering wasn't working, so I was really just trying to tough it out and make as many laps as I could.
Well, I've heard from many people the bottom's the shortest way around the track, so if you got the horsepower to pull out of the corners, that's a great place to be.
Yeah, and I still have a couple of bad habits from compact where I tend to drive my car kind of straight compared to a lot of the stock car guys that just fling it in there sideways. So usually the bottom works out pretty good for that.
Your place of employment is a sponsor on your car. Were they into racing prior to you working there, or did you turn them into race fans?
Well, actually, one of the owners, one of my bosses, he did the semi-truck pulls, and he's like the 4- or 5-time national champion, so it's a little bit different, but they're so supportive. I couldn't have asked for a better place to work for.
The trip to Jefferson, South Dakota, with everything going on this spring, how good did it feel to get out as a family and go on a racing road trip?
It felt amazing. It was like you snapped back into reality. It's a long winter without racing, and then when your car is ready for a month just sitting there, you get the itch really bad. But it was a little bit rough that first night. My car just wasn't agreeing with me, but the second night, one of the guys from back home, Chad Schroeder, was under there while I was going out for the B main, and he was fixing a whole bunch of stuff and switching what he wanted to, and I went out and the car was completely different, and I couldn't thank him enough.
The support of your mom, how important is that to the entire race team?
She pretty much holds us all together. She usually stays in the stands because she gets really nervous every week. But, I mean, if something goes wrong, she's always there to try and cheer you up as much as she could. And She's always there every night, so it's awesome to have her around, too. She's a people person, so she brings most of the fans, honestly.
I seen your mom's comment, "Oh my, my daughter's starting on the pole in the stock car feature."
Yeah, that was the first night at Park Jeff, and we were really nervous, and I just wasn't liking my car in hot lap, so I just took the rear to not wreck anybody's car, which I think was a good idea, but yeah, it's still pretty nerve-wracking to run in this class.
You took the stock car to Jackson Motorplex for the opener. There was a spin out in turn one in the heat, literally right in front of you. You did an amazing job of avoiding that and going up by the wall and getting through there. What goes through your mind in that split second? What am I going to do?
It's just kind of one of those split second decisions. It's like, well, do you slam on the brakes or you gun it? And I just backed off a little bit, and then once he got down a little bit underneath me, I just took off again because I didn't know if they would throw the yellow, so I didn't want to get too far behind. But I guess it's just kind of an instinct to just try and guess what they're going to do. You never know what way they're going to go, so it worked out pretty well, though.
You seem to run really well there for having a brand new car, and that has to be a blast to go wide open around Jackson Motorplex.
I could not stop smiling. I mean, looking at the video, I was running with some of the best drivers. I mean, to name drop, but I was racing with Luke Sadoff lap after lap after lap, and you hear his name everywhere, and he does so well. I blew my own mind, honestly.
You're a new homeowner. How exciting is that? Does the race car go in the garage and your daily driver sit outside?
Well, my race car stays at my grandpa's shop because my dad has a semi and a big 51-foot trailer, so it's easier for him to just haul me. But Cole's car stays in our garage, so yeah, our cars get kind of kicked out.
What are the plans for the remainder of the 2020 season? You'll be at Arlington Raceway every night there racing, and plans to go to any other tracks and try them out?
Yeah, I want to try as much as I possibly could without missing too much work, but my goal is to run Super Nationals in Boone at the end of the season just because I've never been able to, and, you know, it's this big hyped up thing. I've gone there for the last 10 years, but I just want to race it. So I want to try and hopefully get to Boone a couple nights and see if I have a chance, I guess.
That should be one heck of an experience, because not only does it take a good car, but it also takes some luck to get through that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work and a lot of money, but I have some awesome support, and this class, it amazes me, these stock car drivers, because they're some of the best, and some of them will just put their stuff down and make sure that you're doing good and will help you and help you with setup, and it's just awesome, the support that comes out of it.
And speaking of awesome, you did real well in the opener at Arlington Raceway last Saturday night.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed just because I went backwards, but I also started up there, and I mean, some of the best drivers come out of Arlington, so I was just glad I didn't spin out and I didn't get last, I guess. So I guess we'll call that a win. Loaded the car on the trailer straight.
When you can wash it and fuel it and you're ready for the next Saturday night, you did well.
Right, yep. Not have to straighten too many body panels.
Kyron, thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show. Good luck throughout the rest of the 2020 season, and I hope to see you do well down at the Boone Super Nationals, and thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
Thanks for having me.
Come on, kids! Let's go outside to play! Hello, Wolf and Sons? Can you come spray my yard for mosquitoes?
If you can't be outside because of the mosquitoes, call Wolf and Sons at 507-455-3524.
Hello, everyone. This is Chad Weirs, Weirs Machine and Racing Products. One of our questions that we have is our suspension cage bearings. What we recommend is on your rear suspension, you unhook your shocks and your four-link rods every 4 to 10 races as often as you can. What you want to do is you take the cage and you'll just spin it around the axle tube like that. And what that's going to do then, in a sense, is relocate that internal grease inside of there. If it just sits there and rocks, it's going to get a memory and stay in the same spot. When you can take that cage and spin it to relocate the grease, that just helps the longevity. One part of the question is, can you feel when they go bad? And the answer to that question is yes. When you spin this cage, you will be able to feel if there is glitches in that bearing, you'll be able to feel it going bad. Another part of the question was, how often do you replace them? Well, there is no real set date. We got guys that have run bearings for multiple seasons. It depends on how often you rotate that cage to relocate the grease and how well you take care of your equipment.
Check us out online at weirsmachine.com.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packing products when it comes to shipping your business products? Foamcraft Packaging in Owatonna provides a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call 455-2893. That's 455-2893.
Rhino Ag Equipment is used in agriculture, commercial, or industrial mowing applications, landscape preparation, roadside maintenance, and many other farm and ranch applications. With 0% financing for 48 months for qualified buyers, now is the time to take home a Rhino. Find a Rhino Ag dealer near you at rhinoag.com.
Arrow Race Wheels was established on the conviction that its dedicated staff could provide higher quality wheels designed specifically to endure the tough requirements and conditions of the racing industry. Most importantly, the wheels need to be manufactured and sold, maintaining an affordable price structure. Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier steel wheel supplier, and their product line speaks for itself. Upgrade your racing game today at arrowracewheels.com.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am at Powerlift Doors by French's Manufacturing in Dodge Center, Minnesota. And Callie, at the heart of every business, there is that person that keeps everyone pointed in the right direction and also on task. Here at Powerlift Doors by French's Manufacturing, you are that person. How did you get involved, and how long have you been with the company?
I've been with the company for going to be 15 years. I actually started working with my father wiring trucks for him, and I started out in the shop working with the guys. Probably wasn't for a year or two later that I knew he had a mess in his office, and it was so unorganized, and thought, maybe I need to come in there and help him out.
I remember Rod's old office, and yes, that definitely needed some help at the old shop. There was barely room for somebody else to come sit in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, time cards everywhere, paychecks everywhere, bills everywhere. And so I came in and got everything organized for him, and I've been doing it since.
You are also a race fan. It's a great way to get out of the office after a long week and enjoy some fun with the family.
Yeah, we've been racing forever. My brother started racing when he was real young, and I started helping him out in the pits. And let's see, 3 years ago, my children started racing. My oldest boy, Corbin, started racing, and then a year later, Kale started racing, and they've been in Hornets. And we've got about two good seasons that they've been racing. They are taking the year off. They're looking to upgrade cars and get into a different class. So hopefully they'll get some time in the pits with racers that are, I think they're going to go Midwest Mod, so hopefully they'll get some time in the pits and learn a little bit more about those.
Have you ever hot lapped a car or had a chance to get behind the wheel?
We did when the boys first started. My husband and I got in the cars with them and we started going around the track, but that's about it.
Powerlift Doors are constantly evolving as equipment gets larger and technology as far as design evolves. So do your choices of doors and applications. It's just unlimited.
Yeah, we started out pretty heavy in the ag business, doing doors for the farmers. And yeah, their equipment, of course, is getting bigger, and we needed to accommodate for them, and we could. So now we're starting to get into aviation a little bit more as well. And yeah, the doors just keep getting bigger.
If you are a homeowner or a lake homeowner, you can design a door that an entire part of your home would open up to the view of the lake, or that
country valley that's right outside your home, and you can't even tell that it's a door. It looks like part of your home. I can't believe the photos on your website and how you can incorporate the design right into a build or an existing home.
Yeah, absolutely. We just finished up a gorgeous project off a remodel on a home overlooking the golf course. He put three doors on that, put some screens on it as well. So when they're open, he can still sit in there and bug free and whatnot. But some of the designs that they do is incredible. And yeah, just about anything you can imagine, we can do it.
Airplane hangar doors have become a huge part of your business. What is it about power lift doors that make them the perfect door for an airplane hangar?
The biggest thing I would say for airplane hangar or anything would be it's maintenance free. And it is a one-piece door. There's no loss of headroom. So the bigger the plane, necessarily don't have to have the bigger building for our door.
And you also think about the old roll-up doors, how much space that they take up in the ceiling for the door itself, for the track itself. This eliminates all that and gives you that extra space.
Right, absolutely. So with our doors, we only lose 5 inches of headroom versus a roll-up door, I don't know, 1.5 to 2 feet. That way, too, if somebody's building a new building, they don't have to accommodate for that roll-up. They don't have to accommodate for that tracking. We can save them money in their building and still be able to put in that big door.
Commercial doors, if you can dream it, you guys can build it. Some of the examples that you have on your website of power lift doors being incorporated into restaurants, bars, resorts, the possibilities are literally endless.
Yeah, some of them are amazing. And when you go up to a restaurant and you're able to sit outside and still have that awning with our door is fantastic.
And also with the issues we've seen going on in the metro area, if you had a bar that you were able to hit a power lift door and basically shut your entire wall instead of it being glass windows, can you imagine the safety feature?
Yeah, for sure. Being able to shut our door and have absolutely no access to it.
Ag doors. Equipment today is much larger, and you can build enormous doors. I've seen them out in the shop, and I'm trying to figure out how are you going to even get them out of the shop?
We might have to build a bigger shop. I think we told Rod that to begin with. Our standard size door back then, a couple years ago, was a 3016. Now we're building 70, 80-foot doors. So we might have to add on. That'll be okay.
Durability with the best warranty in the industry. Many farmers are turning to power lift doors for livestock because of the strength and durability. And you know what a full-size bull can do to a roll-up door. You know, they're not the most graceful, and a power lift door can handle all of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We build them. It's an all-steel door. One piece. Yeah, I don't think no bull's getting through that one.
Power lift doors has almost 13,000 satisfied door customers across the region. With no fairs, no ag shows, and no trade shows, since much of that has been shut down, what is the best way to find out more about power lift doors by French's Manufacturing?
I would say word of mouth for us is generally the way we go. I mean, there's a lot of people around here that know of us, and we got people calling in that says, hey, my neighbor's got your door. I want to know more about it. So we've got a ton of doors in the area, and it helps with us having 38 locations across the U.S. and Canada. That word of mouth is huge. And with having satisfied customers, we haven't had an issue yet.
Nothing beats talking to somebody who has a door installed and how much difference it's made for them.
Yeah, we have a ton of testimonials on our website.
What would be the best way to talk to you or Rod about any questions they would have about a power lift door?
They can give us a call here at the shop. Our number here is 507-374-9306. Or certainly, yeah, go online. Our contact information is on there. And they can learn a little bit about the doors, or they could come to our facility and see our doors in action.
Well, thank you for being with us on The Dirt Show. And also, I think that power lift door logo is going to look great on a Midwest mod.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Clean.
Winning drivers rely on VP Racing Fuels to optimize performance. Now get the same benefit with VP Matatives, offering race fuel technology for your daily driver. Increase fuel mileage and restore power to your streetcar with VP's fuel system cleaner. Or give your race car a boost with VP's Octanium, improving your fuel's octane by up to 8 numbers and giving you the throttle response your performance car was built to deliver. That's VP Matatives, available at your local AutoZone store or at VPRacingFuels.com.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shaft builder for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch forged center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers products. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. Superior lubricants like JB80 and JB Heavy Duty Chain Lubricants are made for today's farm equipment. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to auto enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers car care products distributor at 952-934-7354. Or visit JusticeBrothers.com. Go with the winner, Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open for business 7 days a week, year-round, and the timing to get our doors opened up again couldn't be better. With opening night at Knoxville Raceway scheduled for Saturday, June 6th, you'll want to be sure to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to check out all of the new 2020 Sprint Car shirts, jewelry, books, and merchandise that has already arrived for the season. And you'll definitely want to see the new Salute to Champion Greg Hodnett exhibit inside our museum, featuring 8 of the sprint cars that Greg drove during his illustrious career, including Greg's B-Mod race car that he won his first feature race in. And you'll see all of the behind-the-scenes equipment that Greg Hodnett used his engineering degree on to fine-tune his race cars long before his competitors caught on to Greg's technology. This and Sprint Car Racing's Greatest Achievers, all at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to be over at Midwest Collision in Faribault, and I am joined by Bob. And Bob, I've been waiting to talk to you about this Nova project that you picked up. Tell me the story. Where did you find it, and what are the plans for the car? And how is it coming along?
It's coming along kind of slow right now, Clay. Now, with the COVID-19, it's been hard to get parts and everything, but we're finally getting a few parts brought in now. I had a customer bring in a 67 Camaro we did some paint work on, and he had spoke to me about this Nova, and I told him I was interested, and a couple months went by, he didn't show up, and about 6 months later, he showed up, and I purchased it, and we're working on it right now. I'm going to put a floor link in the rear. Engine, we're not quite sure yet. Going to mini tub it, and then just kind of take it from there.
A lot of race fans, when you go back into racing history, and I remember as a young kid, a lot of the 67 through 70 Novas made some great stock cars and some great late models, and they would really go with a big block in them.
Yeah, it sure would, but unfortunately this one, Clay, is going to stick to the asphalt. So, but those are definitely some good cars back in the day, for sure.
You have always been into cars. How did you get interested in cars?
Probably when I was about 13, 14 years old, a friend of mine and myself, he bought a 57 Chevy, and the floorboards were rotted out and it didn't run, had a straight six in it. We patched up the floors and got it running, and we used to drive around the dirt roads and we didn't even have a license yet and just mess around, and ever since then I've always liked cars, I guess.
Did that have a three on the tree?
Yes, it did.
A lot of people go, what the heck is a three on the tree? Explain what that is to the people who have no idea what we're talking about.
It's actually a manual, but the shifter is on the steering column. Quite popular back in the day.
What was your most favorite car that you had ever owned in your lifetime?
I had a 68 Chevelle. I did a ground-up restoration on it. I really miss that car a lot. I had to sell the car to be able to purchase the business here, and that's just kind of the way life goes once in a while, but I definitely miss that car.
And also the Nova project, that's something you're working on with your son, and having time to be able to tinker around with cars like that with your son, that's time you'll never get back.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to pull the kids away from the PlayStation once in a while and get them in the garage wrenching a little bit and doing something. But started out a little slow with them, but he seems to be put more and more interest in it, so yeah, it's kind of fun.
Midwest Collision has stayed constantly busy throughout this whole pandemic ordeal. And I also see a lot of deer hits along the highway, and that doesn't seem to be slowing down at all.
No, we've been really blessed with the deer hits. Unfortunately for the deer, it's a bad thing, but for us, it's keeping us afloat. And with the COVID-19, it changed a lot of things, and people are a little sketchy. So for our customers, we'll clean their vehicles up for them, and you know, if they want to drop a car off for an estimate, and we can do the estimate and then call back and come pick the car up, and emails working out really well as far as keeping everybody happy.
Our minivan, since we hit the deer, we have put over 100,000 miles on it, and probably 40,000 of those miles going to races without any issues. You and your staff really dedicate yourself to the craft and keep turning out consistently high-quality repairs.
Yep, it takes a lot of work. Luckily for me, I got two technicians that are really good and take a lot of pride in their work, and we're a combo shop. Basically what that means is your tech, yourself, you start the job, you finish the job. I think that gives people a little more pride in their work.
It's also really nice as a boss when you have confidence in your techs that if you're not standing over their shoulder making sure they're doing the correct thing, you know they are, and when the work's done, you can tell.
Yeah, I work in the shop as well, so I don't really have time to watch them and make sure they're doing everything correctly, and I know that they are, so it makes the guy feel pretty good.
I know you love what you do because you're out there just as much as you're in the office here.
Yeah, I'd rather be in the shop, but I can't find anybody to run the office for me. So anybody looking for work, I could use a secretary.
Fleet repair. Midwest Collision handles fleet repair, and that is different than working on the general public's vehicles. A company might have 40 sales vehicles or 60 delivery vans, and eventually one of those is going to need collision repair. Midwest Collision can set up a maintenance plan with a company to service their entire fleet.
Yeah, definitely. If they got really want to get dings fixed or rust or collision in general, we could get a program set up and definitely be able to help them out so they could keep them on the road making money.
And also when somebody goes to trade in 10 of their fleet vehicles, if there's any body damage or door dings or anything like that, they need to get those repaired so they can get top trade-in value when they take them back.
Yeah, that's definitely a good idea. Claim brings up a very valid point there. The dealerships will nitpick it apart. If you got everything touched up on it looking pretty good, you'll get your top dollar for it.
We talk about driving the extra mile in the Midwest Collision ad. If your vehicle and the quality of the repair is important to you, then driving a few extra miles to get that done right is worth every effort.
Yep, definitely. Just come on out and see us. We're here from 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. Number is 507-332-2434.
Bob, you are some of the lucky ones that have tickets to the Jackson Nationals. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, it's a limited number of fans, but that makes it all the more exciting for those fans who have tickets and are going to get to go to that event.
Yeah, I'm pretty jacked up. It'll be my first dirt race of the season. Going to head down there Saturday afternoon, and hopefully the weather cooperates and have some fun.
Have you had a chance to get into any drag races? Did you go last fall at all, or have you been keeping up with them on television?
I haven't watched them, well, since they finished up the season last year, and unfortunately they haven't raced since March. They're going to be firing them back up next month up in Indy for a couple of weeks, but it hasn't been much on TV to really watch. The last race I was at was Brainerd in August, so hopefully we can have that this year in August. We'll see what happens.
Maybe you'll get yourself set up for iRacing and jump into a top fuel dragster.
Well, if Clayton's going to back me financially, I'm sure we can make that happen.
Bob, how can they find you out here on Highway 60 in Faribault and find out more about Midwest Collision and all of your capabilities?
Yeah, we're just a mile out of Faribault on Highway 60 East on the way to Kenyon. We're actually exactly a mile and a half from Quick Trip. Like I say, our number is 507-332-2434. Feel free to give us a call. We're here from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Have a blast at the Jackson Nationals, and thank you for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
Thank you, Clayne, for everything you do for The Dirt Show.
Founded by Jesse Olson in 2004, Medieval Chassis was formed to fulfill a need for better engineered race cars. Medieval Chassis' new state-of-the-art facility has made it a leader in the stock car racing industry and two-time IMCA national champions. The use of a fiber tube laser, CNC tube bender, and flat laser allows Medieval Chassis to engineer and develop a chassis that exceeds all others in performance and adjustability. Find out more today at MedievalChassis.com.
Byers Engine Service of Rochester opened its doors in 1975. Hi, this is Corey. Since 1975, we've been offering complete engine machining services and assembly. From flatheads to big blocks, Y-blocks to drag race engines, and street rods to pulling tractors. Plus, Byers Engine Service offers complete dyno service. So if your race car or street car needs a little under the hood, trust the place who's been there since 1975. Contact Byers Engine Service at 507-282-5586.
Extreme! Extreme!
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coatings offer a scientific process that uses heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme powder coatings can deliver multimedia blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and super durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
Extreme powder coating.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show. And summertime means getting out to the lake, going to the races, and grilling at the campground or while you're tailgating at the races and speed. Pork chops are always on the menu, and you've got a great recipe.
This is a recipe that I've used for years. It's called fruited pork chops. If people don't have time to get it wrote down while we're on the air here, they can just go to our website, cookiesbbq.com, and get it and a lot of the other recipes right off our website. What you do is you start out with six boneless pork chops that are at least 3/4 inch thick, or you can even get the Iowa chop, they call it, like 1 1/4 inches. Get a half a dozen of them, then a half a teaspoon of ground allspice, and a half a teaspoon of cookies flavor enhancer, 1 can of sliced peaches, 1/2 cup of raspberry preserves, 1/4 cup of cookies western style barbecue sauce, 1 tablespoon of grated orange peel, and 1/2 teaspoon of minced garlic. And what you do, you can either grill the chops, or you can also do them in a skillet, just brush the chops with a little bit of oil and season with the allspice and the flavor enhancer and brown them on both sides if you're doing it in a skillet, or just leave them each side on the grill about 3 minutes and then remove them off the grill or out of the skillet if you're doing it inside and keep them warm, and then just take one of those throwaway foil pans if you're doing it on your grill and add the remaining ingredients, the sliced peaches, the preserves, the western style barbecue sauce, the orange peel, and the minced garlic. Add that to that throwaway pan, or if you're doing it inside in your frying pan, put all that in there and mix it together and bring it to a simmer. Then put your chops back in it and let them simmer in there for about 10 or 15 minutes until they reach that 145 degree magic temperature. I just like to eat them that way, or you can also just serve them on a bed of rice or noodles, whatever you'd like to put them on. But I'll tell you what, that is, it's a tasty treat. And I'll tell you what, those things, if you got any of that sauce left over and got maybe a pork chop left over, boy, you can just warm them back up in that sauce, and I'll tell you what, they're as good the second time around as they are the first time.
Speed, I know sometimes people will stand in the grocery store and they'll look at your full line of products and think, what would be the best use for this or that product? You have all of those ideas and recipes right on your Facebook and right on your website.
You betcha, yeah, because whether it's our original or sweet hickory or western style or tangy mustard, the Korean, the sweet and spicy, there's recipes for all of them right on our website, theoldcookiesbbq.com. Just take some of those secret recipes over there and put them to good use.
Speed, as always, thank you for being with us on The Dirt Show, and keep grilling, buddy.
You betcha. Have a good one, Clayne. Enjoyed visiting with you again.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety, and Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last Tuesday night, June 16th, it was the Sport Mod Nationals at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa. In the 20-lap A-Mod A-Main, Tom Berry Jr. over Alan Bowman. In the Sport Mods, it was Alex Fett, followed by Brian Osentowski. In the Stock Car A-Main, it was Heath Tulp over Derek Green. In the Hobby Stocks, Brandon Nielsen over his brother Cody Nielsen. And in the Sport Compacts, Ryan Bryant over Brad Malin. Last Thursday night, June 18th, the USMTS invaded Mason City Motor Speedway in Mason City, Iowa. In the 40-lap A-Main, it was Derek Ramirez over Rodney Sanders. In the USRA Hobby Stock A-Main, Scott Doble over Derek Willard. And in the Tuner A-Main, Ryan Bryant over Devin Jones. Last Friday night, June 19th, they were racing again at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa. In the 20-lap A-Modified A-Main, Nick Meyer over Jaden Larson. In the Stock Car A-Main, Chad Palmer over McCain Jennings. In the Sport Mods, Josh Appel over Colby Fett. In the Hobby Stock A-Main, Josh Seidels over Cody Nielsen. And in the Sport Compacts, Lucas Parson over Brad Malin. They were also racing at Mississippi Thunder last Friday night, June 19th, in the USRA B-Mod feature, Tyler Werner over Caden Kath. In the USRA Hobby Stock A-Main, Steve Dwyer over Steve Holtis. In the USRA Late Models, Lance Hofer over Sean Mann. In the Modified A-Main, Josh Angst over Alex Williamson. And in the Hornet feature, Armin Love over Jeremy Johnson. We were at the Jackson Motorplex last Friday night, June 19th, in the 305 Wing Sprint Car 20-lap feature, Stu Schneider over Dusty Ballinger, and in the 360 Wing Sprint Car A-Main, Matt Jewell over Lee Gross. The Wings were flying at Knoxville Raceway last Saturday night, June 20th, in the 410 Wing Sprint Car A-Main, Aaron Reitzel over Brian Brown. In the 360 Wing Sprint Car A-Main, Jamie Ball over Matt Jewell. And in the 305 Wing Sprint Car A-Main, Devin Klein over Matthew Stelzer. It was the opener at Ogilvie Raceway last Saturday night, June 20th, in the Hornet feature, Corey Merworth over Carter Ryland. In the Midwest Modified A-Main, Jeremy Nelson over David Swearingen. In the Mod 4 A-Main, Dustin Holquist over Tommy Bowden. In the Modified A-Main, Shane Sabraski over Jody Belfi. In the Street Stocks, Ryan Sater over Parker Anderson. And in the Super Stock A-Main, Dexton Cook over Dylan Chrome Schroeder. Fairmont Raceway was also racing last Saturday night, June 20th. In the Sport Compact A-Main, Matthew Loaf over Jared Baumeister. In the Stock Cars, Jeff Larson over Justin Lunenberg. In the Sport Compact A-Main, Brandon Hartman over Jaden Erickson. In the A-Modifieds, Brandon Beckendorf over Kelly Shryock. And in the Hobby Stock A-Main, Malik Sampson over Parker Larson. It was also the opener at Arlington Raceway last Saturday night, June 20th, in the IMCA Hobby Stock A-Main, Corey Probst, in the IMCA Modified feature, Clint Hattelstead, in the Sport Compacts, J.R. Esquita, in the Sport Mod A-Main, Jeff Carter, in the Sprint Cars, it was Brandon Allen, in the Stock Cars, Brent Euchre, and in the Outlaw Hobby feature, Mike Vogt.
Have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. This is Darcy from Pulver Towing. Over the years, we've been called to fields and job sites where they've spent days trying to free a piece of equipment from the muck. If you don't have time to wait, call Pulver Towing. Our towing experts will have you out in hours instead of days. With locations in Rochester, Worthington, Fulda, and Marshall, If you're stuck, call Pulver Towing today.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.